Hey guys, welcome back to the No Rules Podcast. I'm your host, T-Ray Scott, and your co-host is here.
Yeah, what's up? It's Bailey. How's it going?
Yeah, we got a returning guest, Matt Snyder.
And Hello, everybody.
We also got old Chancy Poo looking cute.
Hey, how you doing?
Beautiful. What's up, Chance?
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Fucking Sasquatch man.
He is.
Fuck yeah.
Goddamn Timberman.
So, I want to talk about deer hunting since it's a little over a month away.
Okay.
Hell yeah, I can't wait. It's that time of year again. It's my favorite time.
Yes.
And leaves start changing.
I've been after this buck. He's 11 point. I've been after him for 5 years. And I swear he has like 10 lives. And I've seen him total about 15 times.
And so are we talking at Gary's?
No, we're talking out at Hayden's.
Okay.
I had this deer at 10 yards one time. The only thing I could see was his head. He's so big. Real old deer. Super mature. He's probably 200 pounds.
So maybe for the listeners who...
Keep going. He wasn't even done telling his story. What was the story? I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. What was it, Scott?
Okay, so the first time I seen him... very first time I ever hunted at this place, and snort wheezed him in, came in through this pine thicket. The only thing I could see was his rack. He's so big. He's every time I see him, he's just has a drop tine now. He's big.
How old do you think it is?
By the judge, and he's probably 5 or 6. He's big.
Getting there.
Smart.
Scott, didn't you also kill a big deer not too long ago?
I did kill a big deer 2 years ago, actually. Big
what a score?
135.
Yeah, that's decent for West Virginia, but there's been some deer killed in West Virginia recently that are upwards of 200 inches, too.
West Virginia's getting big.
We are getting better deer. But I also think that has a lot to do with the difference in generations. I mean, my dad's generation, my grandpa's generation, your dad's Bailey. Those guys just, if it's brown, it's down.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of people are really starting to try to manage deer because it's the thing to do.
You also got to think of everybody that's going over to Ohio to hunt.
Well, there's less, statistically, there's less deer hunters now than there's ever been.
Really?
Yes.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, less people hunt every year, less people buy license every year.
You know
than
why?
Than they ever have.
You know why, right?
Because everybody's sissies.
Not just that, it's people have gotten so accustomed to going, they've lost the true art of hunting and harvesting your own meat. They've gotten so accustomed to going to your fucking Piggly Wiggly's, your Walmart's, and getting your food that people have honestly lost the way. Like, if shit were to go down, people are not going to be able to harvest their own food. A lot of people are going to die.
Besides the handful of people that you know personally, how many people do you know outside of our little circle that can... fucking shoot a deer, field dress the deer, bring it home, skin the deer, cut the deer up, package it, freeze it, or can it, or dry it out.
Yeah.
You know, how many people do you know outside of your own personal circle that can do that? Probably. You know, that have the mentality to do that?
Total of 2.
Yeah. I mean, very, very few.
Everybody else is like...
they don't do it. They don't know. A lot of them, I love deer jerky. I love meat. But they have no idea what goes into it.
No.
I mean, just like me, I just got my hunting license.
Yeah, there's so much work into bringing your gear and looking for them and tracking them down, sitting in the right spot, being there at the right time, the right place. It just all boils down to where exactly...
I also think conservation has been taken a lot more seriously.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
A lot of DNRs are starting to realize conservation produces bigger deer, bigger whatever you're going after.
I'm telling you right now, if people were growing squirrels now in West Virginia would be like world record squirrels, I think.
Yeah, there's some big
because
squirrels.
Back in the day, a lot of people, that's what they lived on, especially Appalachian, West Virginia people, lived on squirrel, rabbit, deer. That's why there's very few people now that's their sole means of food. That's their sole means of, intake for calories. There's very few people that live like that anymore compared to what they used to, in the past.
So a lot of people think just hunting is where people just drive around in a truck and just shoot deer for the fun of it. So explain to people what hunting is to you, Matt.
Well, I've done that very same thing. I've done, you know, being the young, dumb, stupid kid, I've poached, you know, shot deer with shotguns, 22s, and, you know, I've done those things. But now, older as an adult, I tried to, and as I got older, I started to realize that that wasn't the right way to do things. I've become a sportsman. And to me now, I mean, it's, I love nothing more than being able to take my son out hunting. You know, I don't have to take him hunting anymore. We go together. He goes to his spot. I go to mine. I mean, and I get very few times, you know, now that I have the opportunity to go with him, but I hunt with my dad every year. I mean, and that's what I look forward to is the time I get to spend with the people that I care about, you know, and not only that, I mean, I don't know anybody that in my circle that doesn't enjoy deer steak, you know, been backstraps or.
Yeah. It's really weird.
That's why I hunt.
It's really weird. Hunting can bring people so together. Like, you can take a random person you don't even know hunting.
Yeah.
And it won't be awkward.
Well, you got to.
It won't be. You guys will become out best friends.
You got to think of it as back our ancestors, the tribe mentality. When you killed an animal and brought it back to your tribe,
you were the hero.
Yeah, they celebrated. You
and that's funny because I was listening today on my way home in a truck, and I was listening to Hank Williams Jr. He was talking about different ways and, you know, growing up and whatnot. And he was talking about actually hunting, and there was a video of him I seen on YouTube. He was sitting in his deer stand, but he was talking about his dad. He said after his dad had passed, he got to spend some time with his grandpa, or his great grandpa, I think is what he referred to, and his grandpa. And his dad, they were all hunters and fishermen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the type of lifestyle they lived. And they lived in Alabama, you know, mm-hmm. Mobile area somewhere now, or South Alabama. But which in the last 10 years, their conservation has went through the roof. I mean, they got some really nice deer in Alabama.
And, oh, yeah.
Mississippi, Louisiana, those places are. But that's work. I mean, and that comes from a long line of people trying to conserve and trying to be, you know, the best hunters and sportsmen they can be. I mean, if you got poachers, tons of poachers, I mean, they can't control it in Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, and you read about a lot of different types of animals and stuff in Africa that are on the endangered species list because of that, because of people poaching. But there they do it out of necessity. Most of them, it's either for money or for sustenance. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no in between. You have to eat.
Yeah. And I think an interesting thing on the negativity that hunters and conservation gets is a lot of your films and your movies portray hunters as dumb white rednecks in a truck with a fucking shotgun shooting anything that moves.
I see that all the time.
In movies, especially, really bad.
In movies, and like, it's always like a red stag or like a giant elk. It's never realistic.
Yeah.
It's never like a white-tailed deer or nothing.
No, you know who does some of the most, and I know that he kills a lot of deer, and a lot of the animals that he does hunt are on his own farm, but he does a lot of herd management is Ted Nugent. I mean, he does the real deal. Ted Nugent is
the shit.
Yeah, he does a real deal. I mean, I know he raises a lot of the deer, and a lot of the deer he shoots are, you know, a lot of the exotic animals are in his own personal high fence, but he manages those animals.
Yeah, he has to do it.
Takes care of them.
That's part of it.
Grows them to maturity. Nobody does that. Nobody does that anymore. I mean,
like, I watched a video, like, this was not hunting. I forget where it was at, but it was like a management farm, and they had these elk eating at this feeder.
Yeah.
And they just drove a side by side of about 20 yards to them.
And yeah.
Let this girl shoot it.
See, that's dumb to me. Let me tell you a quick story about an elk. So they every year in Ohio, Mount Pleasant or somewhere like that in Ohio, they have a exotic livestock auction. So my dad and brother decide that they went to this auction one year and they seen that they were selling giraffes, elephants, you know, zebras, all kind of exotic animals, elk. So they decided that they were going to go buy an elk. You know, instead of spending $4,000 to go out west somewhere and hunt a wild elk, they went, and we have eaten elk before, wild elk killed in Colorado. Yeah. Wow. The flavor is amazing,
elk,
right?
Elk is amazing.
So my dad and brother decide they're going to buy this elk. They go up to Ohio, go to the livestock auction, big cow elk, mature cow elk comes through. they buy it. $1,500 they pay for this elk. So they bring it home, butcher the elk. It's still in the freezer, not fit to eat. It's been eating horse mule feed or corn. Oh. Tastes like shit, man. It's not like a wild.
Yeah.
It's not like wild game.
Yeah. Your dad actually gave me some elk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like people describe it when they harvest a wild elk.
No.
Yeah.
No, we went to Idaho one time for an elk hunt. Actually, I went for mule deer. My Uncle Larry was going to kill a black bear. My brother was going to kill an elk, and my dad was killing an elk. So I went for mule deer and white-tailed deer. That's where we went, to northern Idaho, a place called Dixie on the Salmon River.
Did you kill anything?
No. Actually, it was a terrible, tragic story.
I was going to ask.
It fucking hurt my feelings, dude. You just made my baby cry when you said that, because, you know, we're all thousands of dollars in on this trip, bought our own license. I mean, went with a friend, you know, that knows the area well, into Frank Church National Wilderness, which is some of the most treacherous terrain in America. Yeah. I mean, this, you have to look this up, dude. This is a beautiful place. So we get there. It's November 17th or something. So fucking cold, dude. I mean, the ground is chalky. And when we pull in the town of Dixie, Idaho, clear north Idaho, it is, it might be like 10 degrees, maybe.
Goodness gracious.
There's a fucking moose hanging up out in front of these people's house, but it's hanging really high for some reason. So
bears.
Yeah, well, bear, and there's a lots and lots of mountain lion in North Idaho. I didn't know this, you know, and it's we're there for the first night, and we're staying in this hotel in Dixie, and then we're going to go set our camp up the next day when it gets daylight. Well, we're all eating dinner at the one little hotel restaurant that there is there. The people waited on us. They knew we were coming, fix us dinner. My dad gets a phone call in Dixie, Idaho, and nobody had cell phones at the time. We went all the way to fucking Idaho. You know, had a goddamn road map. That's what we had. There was no GPS, no nothing like that. So anyway, he gets a phone call, really odd. And they're like, listen, you know, because my dad, he worked at a slaughterhouse. That's all he's ever done in my whole life. The guy that owned a slaughterhouse's daughter had passed away. So now we had all bought these licenses. We had all bought everything. So we had to immediately, the very next morning, instead of going to set our camp up, we had to get right back in the truck and drove 36 straight hours so my dad could get back to manage the slaughterhouse while this guy took care of his daughter. And, you know, I started to get on a plane and fly back from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, but we didn't, because it was a little sketchy trip to start with. We weren't really there with a guide, and the guy wasn't supposed to have us there, but we were there anyway. So we come back home, and then come to find out those people that we were with ended up going out. They shot a couple of illegal elk. The guy had just bought a brand new truck, got his truck taken. They got their guns taken. One dude got arrested. Oh. So we would have been in the middle. It was kind of a blessing in disguise, but yeah. I've always wanted to go back. Because, I mean, this was some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen in my life.
Let's go.
Anytime, man.
I want to talk about, like, the scariest times, hon. Oh, one of the scariest times for me was when I was walking through the woods. It was turkey hunting up in Ritchie County. And it was dark, but it was just getting ready to get daylight. But where you can, like, see through the woods, but it's, like, still dark. Well, I heard these birds gobbling, and I was walking towards them. And at first, I was looking up the hill, and I saw this black thing walk through the woods. First, I thought it was a cow, because it's on a cow farm. Then I got closer, and I saw these little ones, little black things wandering across. Then the big one stood up on its hind legs when I got within, like, 50 yards of her. I was pretty scared. Big old black bear.
Yeah, the Ritchie County has several bears now.
Oh, so scared. What's the scariest time you ever went hunting?
You know, I don't even know that I've ever been what you call scared deer hunting.
Like anything that ever happened that was like, oh shit moment.
Yeah. Well, we used to coon hunt a lot when I was a kid. My dad had Walker coon hounds, and we were out coon hunting one night, and the dogs treed, you know, and it's like freaking miles in there, seemed like, to them at the time. I was very young. But anyway, we went into the tree. And we had been walking for 30 minutes, 45 minutes straight towards this tree. The dogs are just yelp, 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 you know, treed. And we get to the tree, you know, and everybody's kind of walking around, and the dogs are, for some odd reason, or we didn't realize it at the time, but we know now that, you know, that it's gone, but the dogs were staying away, back away from the tree. So we all go in to catch our dogs, and immediately, you know, the dogs run around the other side of the tree. Well, when they did, we all run right into a goddamn hornet's nest.
Oh,
and I'm talking fucking lit up, fucking dogs yelping. Every one of us got stung multiple times trying to catch our dogs.
That's a bad fucking time.
I was like 12, 13. I was like, fuck this. I'm never going coon hunting again in my life, dude. And my dad walked my legs. I guarantee you to this day, I am overweight and 43. And I promise you, I can walk five times further than every one of you that's half my age. Because my dad, dude, I've been telling you, 15 to 20 miles a night sometimes for years. That's what we walked.
My dad did.
We didn't have four wheelers. Didn't have side by sides.
My dad did a lot of coon hunting with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember one night, well, it wasn't a night, we were training this pup. This was kind of a shit moment, too, because we trapped this coon. This coon was so big. And I'm talking, I might be over-exaggerating, but I'm talking like 30 pounds.
That's a big one.
And he, my dad's buddy had this sheepdog, and he trained it to coon hunt. And we were training this blue tick, and we got this dog to start barking at the coon in the cage, and we're getting ready to let it go. And my dad brought a gun, but didn't bring no bullets.
Smart.
Stick.
Well, he
a big
brought,
stick.
He brought one bullet. He actually brought one bullet. Because when he let the coon go, the coon trying to climb the tree. So he shot it out of the tree. And I'll tell you what, when that coon hit the tree, it was all about war. And I'm telling you, this coon got on the sheepdog's back and was tearing the fuck out of it. And then the dog like got the coon off the back, and the pup went after her. He almost killed that pup. And my dad was like, I'm out of bullets. And he ended up killing that thing with a freaking log.
Yeah, a coon can really screw a dog up, man. Coons, especially in the water.
Yeah, they were fighting that thing in the water, too.
Coons are tough, man. Raccoons and that. Rakens.
Trash pandas.
Yeah, they got them trash pandas.
Remember those trash pandas we saved out of the dumpster?
Yeah.
Rakens.
Those things were little. Mm. They were little babies.
Well, we used to catch them all the time in our dog food barrel. We had a 55-gallon drum. We'd dump a couple 100 pounds or a couple 50-pound sacks of feed in it, you know, and feed our dogs. At the time, we had 14-headed dogs, you know, coon hounds.
Mm-hmm.
But feed them out of it, and it was just enough feed in it to where if a small baby raccoon got in it, it would be stuck and it couldn't get out. So you'd open up the feed barrel, or you go up there and the lid's half off, and you're like, wait a minute. So you pull the lid off, and there's a, you know, not much bigger than both hands, so you can just reach down and pick it right up. And I mean, they try to eat you up a little bit, but they would calm right down. So.
Like then, things weren't even growling.
Had many pet raccoons as a child.
I want one.
They
will bite the fuck out of you, dude. My oldest brother.
Well, they say they act like a cat.
It bit completely through. We had one that was called Roscoe. It bit completely through my oldest brother's thumb.
Oh my gosh!
Right through his thumbnail.
The things will fuck you up, dude.
A raccoon is vicious, dude.
Yeah, dude. I caught one in a live trap one time.
I trap all the time with a steel trap, dude, and they are the hardest animal to dispatch.
They'll chew their foot off.
Yep.
They'll chew their feet right off if they're stuck.
9 times out of 10, whenever you catch a coon in a trap and you get there, and if he's still there, unless you're using a dog-proof trap, he has got his foot chewed off at the ankle.
Yeah.
Almost just a skin holding him.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're kind of.
I trapped this coon in a foothold once. Not a football. Yeah, steel trap.
Steel trap, yeah, foothold.
And somehow he, like, got, like, the stake out and stuff, and he, like, climbed a tree and died. He was, like, stuck up there.
That's nuts.
Yeah, he was, like, stuck up there.
So, like, yeah, I want to trap, like, I as soon as possible.
Yeah, I want to start. It don't start till like, November.
November, yeah.
And I'm really excited for bow season.
Yes. So,
starting next week, we got to put in some fucking work, though.
Yeah, I'm starting the food plots next week.
Yeah. So, that's, I mean, I'm excited, especially being a first-time hunter. Like, I've went on hunts. I've had to sit.
You've watched without me a gun. You've watched me kill a few things.
And I think it's my turn to enjoy the harvesting, I think.
People don't understand how satisfying it is when you put in the work, practice every day with your bow.
Yeah.
And then when that deer comes in and you hit exactly where you were aiming, it's so satisfying.
You know, it is, but I got to hunt last year more than I've ever hunted in my life. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even, I didn't even care if I shot anything. I seen more deer last year, seen bigger deer last year than I've ever seen. I shot one arrow. Actually, I lied. I shot two. But the first one, we won't talk about that. The second yeah. one, the second one was a swing, and I got a good stick, I thought, but kept pressuring the deer, and was stupid. Shouldn't have done that. Should have backed out a little sooner than what I did.
Yeah, that big buck I shot, I got in the stand early. Like, it was an afternoon hunt. And I got in the stand around 2 o'clock, mid-November. Like, it was like the week before gun season. And full rut. Like, the rut was in full swing. And about 10 yards to my left, I got a mock scrape. Well, I get in the tree stand. I was only in the tree stand 15 minutes, really. And I seen two legs coming through the brush. And I seen his antlers. I was like, holy shit.
Talking about the big wide one?
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Holy shit.
It's big.
And I was smoking a cigarette at the same time. He's coming in.
Tell me your night meat might be redneck.
I was smoking a cigarette when he was walking in. I was like, oh, shit. So,
bow hunting with Marlboro. Marlboro man.
You know what it was? A Sonoma Red
100. Oh, my God.
So, I still got the cigarette in my mouth, and I can't move. So, he starts walking and gets behind a tree. And, like, I can see his ears and his rack behind his tree. Barely see his eyeball. So, I just just blew the shit right out of my mouth, and it just hit the ground.
Littering motherfucker.
So it's just smoking up. So this buck walks in like 15 yards. And I was using a climber stand, and I don't get very high. I was only like 8 feet off the ground, like literally, like not lying. And this deer walks out in the open, and I drew back, and my safety harness scraped off the tree, and he jumped a little bit, stuck him right in the ass.
Oh, that's terrible.
I didn't mean to. When I shot, there was a branch in front of me, and I was trying to bend down, trying to shoot underneath of it. And when I shot, it flicked off the branch, hit him in the butt. But when I looked for him that night, if I would have looked probably 100 yards to the left, would have found him.
No.
I found him the next day. Probably. And when I was looking, I was like, man, I was looking right over there. If I would have kept walking, I would have found him.
I just watched a Lee and Tiffany Lukoski, the hunting show. I just watched a version of theirs the other day, and he stuck one and got it in the shoulder blade itself, but it ended up penetrating like 15 inches, 222 inch deer or something.
Yeah, that's not going to do much.
Monster. Well, it did. Yeah, it killed a deer. He didn't find it until like 7 days later after he seen some buzzards flying, but he ended up getting a deer.
Broadway. What kind of broadhead do you use?
I don't even want to tell you. I'm not gonna tell you. I don't use mechanical broadheads.
I don't either. With that. I use fixed. I use a Muzzy MX Force.
I knew you were gonna say Muzzy.
I use the Muzzy MX Force.
Do you know what I use? You will never guess what I use.
What do you use?
I'll bet you that my broadheads cost.
I bet you
a fourth of what yours do.
Like more expensive or less?
Way less.
I bet I knew exactly what you were talking about, and I've used those exact ones. They're like brown. They're like a little bigger. I've used those before.
100 grain wasps from Walmart.
Yep, I've used those before.
Dude, I have killed more deer.
Wasp is a badass.
I swear to God, dude, I have killed more deer. They don't stay sharp. If you shoot them a couple times, they're pretty well done.
They have mechanical broadheads out now.
I have shot more deer with wasp Walmart broadheads than any other brand.
You want to know something crazy? Have you ever used the Walmart brand broadheads?
Yeah, that's what Wasp is. Yeah. Wasp is exclusive to Walmart.
I shot my very first deer with a bow with those broadheads.
So if I'm using, just a question.
Boys, you get in a fucking pump house, it don't matter what you're using.
No.
Yeah. I just have a question. So with it being my first bow season officially,
yeah,
like on the books, with a crossbow, since I don't have my own bow, do I still use broadheads or do
yes. they make yeah, certain mechanical?
You have to use, well, they make fixed blade. Me personally, I buy the fixed blade because I like the cutting on, right on point. Like yeah. as soon as it touches the deer, it's cutting.
It's cutting, yeah.
But with a mechanical, it has to push through that deer to start cutting.
But it's more of a wound channel.
I want that slice.
So what do I have to buy to be ready for bow season?
Well, at Royal King, they literally sell a 3-pack of broadheads
yeah.
and a 3-pack of bolts for like $30. The Rage.
Okay, yeah. I know that brand.
But Rage is really good.
Oh, yeah. Rage is like absurd.
Rage is like dangerously good. Yeah. Like,
they're lower to midfield. I mean, in the broadhead world.
They're only like $30.
So, like, honestly, I have no clue what the fuck I'm doing.
I'll go with you.
Well, yeah. So, when it comes to bow hunting and the preparation to put in for bow hunting, like next week, what are we doing? Like, what does that entail?
Start now.
So, well, next week we are starting to, we're going to be starting the food plots. It's not going to be nothing big, because if it were going to be big, we should have already started.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get so much more enjoyment. And there's, to me, it's so much more of a rush when you use a compound bow.
It really is. But
it is like nerve-wracking, honestly.
Them deer got to be like 20 yards. Jeez, but
I don't know who he's hunting with.
But I'm not going to let you shoot anything past 30 yards.
No, when you start, yeah, he's right. I mean, 30 yards max. I mean, but this is the thing. You need to set your target up outside. And at 30 yards,
come to my house.
You need to get at every angle, every height, need to shoot at every angle and get to where when you aim at 30 yards, you can get it in that 3-inch, 4-inch circle.
This crossbow is deadly.
Yeah.
So with food plots, you're going to set up cameras, correct?
Well, when we get the food plots out, I'm not going to set cameras up there at the first. Because when we first start, I'm not going to hunt, because that spot right there where we're putting the food plot,
yeah,
that's like my main, like during the rut spot.
Yeah, so you're going to let that one.
Yeah, I'm going to let that one ride until it starts getting cold.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, we're going to be hunting in this blind, possibly tree stand.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking about making a food plot there, but every evening for the past 2 weeks, Gary's been sending me this picture of this bachelor group.
Okay.
There is 2 8-points. And some nice 6-points. Like, they're big for 6-points.
I mean, yeah.
But I think if we get them early enough, I think we can catch them still in their summer days. But
shit, you get anything in September, you're still caught in their summer pattern.
And
in West Virginia, most 99.9% of the time.
But you also don't want to hunt your main spot early in the season, because if you go there too much, the deer are going to catch on.
Yeah.
But, you know, even that deer that I shot last year and couldn't find was very nice, well over 150 inch. And I didn't shoot that deer until after the first week of gun season. After the first week of gun season was over, I hunted that whole time with a gun, never shot a deer, never seen the deer again, because I'd been seeing him in the early season. But then after the second week, because here in West Virginia, that we have the 2 weeks of deer season, after the second week, I never seen it again. So I quit gun hunting. And then when the end of that season came, the end of the gun season came the second week, I started bow hunting again. And like the second day on Sunday, I think it was. Yeah, or no. On Monday, I'd gotten home early. Monday evening, I stuck the deer. Well, my father-in-law, he came the very next evening, and we went back and tried to find it again. And we jumped it up, and it was just, it had run just a little bit and stopped, run just a little bit and stopped. And we never did see the deer again. I'm sure that it had died, you know.
Yeah.
It was a shame. I mean, I just got a terrible hit on it.
Yeah, last year, the first week was on Thanksgiving. We were up in Ritchie County, and we were leaving, and we saw this buck along the road. And Dad's like, get out and see if that thing's fresh. We'll pick that thing up. Big buck. Big 8-point.
I've done it.
And I was like, all right. So I was like, should I take the gun just in case he's alive? He's like, nah, he looks dead. He was laying down. Like, you know how a dog, when they lay down, they like lay their head down.
Yeah, like flat.
Yeah, flat. That's what he was looking like. That's what he was laying down. And he's like, nah, don't take your gun. So I crossed the creek and I'm getting ready to grab a hold of this deer's head. Like I'm bending down and this deer jumps up. Scares the living shit out of me. And I run back to get the car. I was like, I need a gun. So I grab the gun. 30-30, that old 30-30.
Yeah.
That old one. The one.
This is a pull safety.
Yeah, the safety's weird. The ring, pull it back, and you have to turn it. It's an old gun.
Old.
And the most accurate gun I've ever shot, too. And so it's like a peep sight. It's like a bow sight. It's weird. And you can only shoot them if they're standing still.
That's called field sights, I think.
And so this deer stopped. And when I'm telling you, when this deer was running, his whole front shoulder was just hanging. And he climbed. Yeah. Remember that hill we climbed when we went with my dad? He climbed the steepest part of that hill.
No problem.
And stopped one time. And when he did stop, I went to shoot him. Click. My bullet didn't go off. He was on that hill.
Like a bad bullet.
Yeah.
Primer didn't strike.
And I was like, oh shit. So I reloaded, went to shoot again, and he started walking. I could never get him to stop.
So I'm nervous for bow season, but at the same time, I'm not getting my hopes up. But I know if we're hunting gears, I think we'll be successful.
I already know you, dude. You will be more of a bow hunter than you are any type of gun hunter, guaranteed.
Because people don't understand when the rut comes in. People don't understand.
I would rather hunt a summer pattern than I would a rut.
Really?
For with a bow. Yeah, hands down.
I love hunting the rut with the bow because, let me tell you.
Well, there's more action, but I like that predictability.
Well, like, you never know what's going to come through. Never know what's going to happen. Like, you can see this giant-ass buck, like, 500 yards away, not paying no attention to you. I wouldn't say five. That's a little far. Like, 200 yards away. Not coming your way at all. And deer are so fast, 5 seconds later, that deer could be 10 feet underneath of you on a doe's ass.
Seriously. And you lost sight of him.
Yes.
2 minutes ago at 200 yards, you lost sight of him. And then you all of a sudden you listen right behind you and he's chasing a doe 100 mile an hour. Yeah. Grunting. It's pretty intense whenever you get in a rut.
Especially if you're in a tree stand. Like last year, I saw, I think I total of 26 does. Well, yeah. 26 deer in total.
I seen 47 the first day last year, the very first day of season. I saw 47 deer.
Well, this was when the rut was in mid, like full swing. And I seen like 9 different total bucks. 2 of them, I was at full draw, but they were on this. They were so like paying attention to this doe's ass. I was screaming, meh, meh, meh. 15 yards would not stop for me. It's so exciting.
I think I'm looking forward more to the meat.
Yes.
If a big buck comes in, yeah, I'm going to shoot it. But at the same time, if I'm unsuccessful with trying to get a decent buck, I'm stock up on meat.
Yeah. People don't understand, knowing where your meat came from.
Yeah.
And how good it feels when you're eating the meat that you harvest yourself.
Well, that ties back in earlier is like when, especially the newest generation that's coming up that heavily rely on big supply chains for their produce, and they just don't realize that you could go out and harvest your own meat. You know where it comes from. It's healthier for you.
Yep.
Because they don't. You got to think beef and pigs and chickens. The shit they pump into them and their living conditions are terrible.
Very bad. Like I saw this one video of them killing this cow. They shoved it in this machine, turned it upside down.
Yeah.
And cut its throat.
It's mass slaughter. You have to. It's the easiest, most proficient way to do it.
I like filet mignon. I don't give a fuck where they came from.
Yeah. I mean, I'll eat a nice steak.
I ain't gonna lie though. Last time I did that, What I had to do was...
But I've always been around butchering my entire life. It's nothing. I mean, you got
to
eat.
The first time I did it, we... it sounds a little fucked, but poured feed on the ground. Cow walked up, started eating. I shot it in the head.
Well, fuck yeah. It's how you, I mean, there's... Goddamn, what do?
You like meat, right?
I mean, the cow didn't feel a thing.
No.
No.
17 HMR.
That's the most humane way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. I don't get that people think that, oh, I just go to the store and pick me up some meat.
Yeah, cheeseburgers come from the fucking, they come from the damn meat section at Walmart.
In high school, I used to talk to this girl and she would like get mad at me for like hunting.
But go sit at lunch and eat fucking cheeseburgers and pork chops.
Well, yeah. And like, she would get mad at me like for hunting. I was like, so I gotta get meat somehow.
Yeah.
And she's like, the store. And I'm like, where do you think that shit comes from?
So if you look back a year and a couple months when quarantines first kicked off and grocery stores were literally bare.
Yeah.
If you weren't a hunter and if you weren't a harvesting or a farmer or someone that worked at a slaughterhouse,
you're fucked.
What are you doing for meat? Oh, you can't rely on the store no more.
Vegan.
You're going to fry potatoes and eat box meals and fucking ground
ass. Anything the fucking local Costco has, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't get that mentality.
I like to catch, kill, slaughter, package my own shit.
But it's
always better.
Yeah. I also get the enjoyment just going out and just watching the animal's behavior.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's a large part of hunting to me is just not only the deer that you get to see. My wife and I, she killed her first deer 2 years ago, something like that. When she shot the deer that she shot, we had been watching them for 2 days straight. And we finally picked the one that she wanted to shoot. It was an old mature doe. She shot it. Handed me her gun. We were hunting over a feeder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she shot her deer. It dropped immediately. Perfect kill. She handed me her gun. I turned around and shot the other mature doe that these two had been fighting and running all the other deer out of this corn pile.
Yeah.
So
they were bullies.
But they were just old does. Don't produce old no brood more. Does. And we shot both of them. The moral of that story is a simple fact that she knows now what that entails.
Yeah.
You know, she had eaten deer meat and jerky and things, you know, but didn't know that
this
how
is,
that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and it's some people enjoy it. Some people like to experience once and they'll be like, okay, that was cool. But I don't know. Like, when you shoot your first deer, Bailey, you're going to be addicted.
The harvesting and producing meat for people around you, fascinates me. Like I said earlier, the tribe mentality when you killed something and you brought it, because you got to think people back then, talking hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
If they went out and killed a big game animal and brought it back,
they were the heroes.
They provided, they did what they had to do. And
I'm like that with fish more now than I am so much deer.
I love fish.
My family, you know, they like it all. They like, you know, fish and deer. But I feel more like that whenever I catch a huge stringer of fish.
Oh, yeah.
And I bring them back, fillet them myself, go up, heat the skillet up, you know, and get them in their oil bath.
I think that has to do because you have a lot.
Yeah, I think that's more satisfying to me so much than even deer hunting is anymore.
But if I had to choose my favorite type of hunt, nothing is better than a good old turkey hunt.
Listen, motherfucker. Listen, you done led me on the worst. Spring turkey season. This past spring turkey season was possibly the hardest, most physically demanding hunting I've ever seen, been a part of, talked about. Like the fact that the turkeys quit gobbling so early, was so goddamn frustrating. And I was like, man, this shit's for the birds.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. But when you finally do get a bird that wants to commit and come in.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear this bird sound off a mile away. Then it will shut up. And you'll be sitting there for 20 minutes to an hour. Then out of nowhere, pow, right on top of you. And it's so loud.
Like, the the day that, remember when we got to the top of the mountain there in Wart County and I took my bag off sloppily?
Yeah. I learned, found down the hill and the turkey took off.
It hurt it. I was ready.
This turkey was like 250 yards away and it hurt that.
I swear to God, dude, I'd eat fucking crickets before I eat goddamn nasty ass wild turkey.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, you either really like turkey hunting or you really don't like turkey
hunting. Oh, turkey hunt.
I'll give it one more try.
His thing was, he just came on a bad year. This year was not very good. A lot of people I came in contact with at turkey hunts said the birds stopped.
Yeah, my buddy, he's like fucking pro, goddamn world renowned fucking. He is the turkey caller. He's like the guru, and he didn't get a bird this year.
And the birds literally just quit gobbling.
But I do not, never have really give a fuck about turkey hunting. I just don't care for it. I don't know why.
Like, you've seen how exciting it was when Timmy shot that one bird.
Yeah.
How close were those turkeys from us when they were gobbling?
Some of it's exciting.
Like right on top of us.
We were underneath these turkeys. Like, don't get me wrong. It's the same way deer hunt. You're going to have, in the fishing, you're going to have really good days. You're going to have really shitty days.
Yeah.
And turkey hunt is just, turkeys are like so dumb, but they're like so smart.
Yeah,
their eyesight, they're not that they're smart at all. Their eyesight just is a very good alert system.
Their eyesight,
their eyes, they're weary. They're very,
they can see and scared hear of very, everything.
I mean, I learned a valuable lesson that day.
This turkey was coming to us.
Yeah.
Oh, you done screwed up. If he was coming to you and you were up moving, you ain't killing that bird.
I was telling him to get down, be real quiet.
Yep.
I took my bag off and I had put four water bottles in there. A big old buck knife, and when I had set it down, one of them water bottles, and he goes, "Oh, well, there they go." And I was like, "Mother,
fuck, turkey hunting."
Well, and you gotta do a little walking too.
I don't give a fuck about the walking.
I remember the first time I took Bailey to Ritchie County.
No,
I thought this dude was going to die.
Well, I was.
I wouldn't go again if the turkeys were passing out blowjobs. I'm just saying
it's. Yeah, I think you just gotta be a patient motherfucker.
You have to be.
You know, the most 90% of the motherfuckers that kill turkeys, they go the night before. They say, "Okay, I know this land well. That bird is roosting in that big fucking oak tree right out on the ridge or on the point." So they go right up there way before daylight, before the birds ever fly down. They go up there and they set up 30, 40 yards from the tree. The bird flies out of the tree, hits the ground. They kill the bird. Nine times out of 10, that's how that takes place.
Well, I do a lot of my turkey hunting. You can ask Bailey. Bailey will add for me. I don't hunt the spot. I don't hunt a turkey. I don't turkey on a spot more than once. I do, but I like driving to new places and listening than trying to work the bird.
Well, that's somebody that if you're a good caller and you know what you're doing, that's one thing, you know.
Like me and Bailey, how many places did we ask this year? Like, I have places like we can go anytime we wanted, but I wanted to go and like I did a lot of public land hunting.
Yeah.
Like it's just a challenge for me. I like because turkey hunting when you and they're like wild habitat, the hen's supposed to go to them, to the gobbler. They're supposed to stay in their area, gobble for the hens to come to them.
Yeah.
And be able to reverse it to get them to trick them to come into you. It's nothing better.
Oh, and I like I said, it you just have either like it or you don't.
There's a high reward for it if you're able to trick. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting pretty late.
Yeah.
So any final words for
I'm excited. For bow season, we're definitely gonna have to do another hunting podcast after first.
Days. Absolutely, yeah. After right around gun season or bow season.
Oh, yeah. I need to invest in a high powered rifle.
Well,
you need to invest in a fucking bow. We got plenty of high powered rifles.
Are you left handed or right handed?
Right handed.
You need to invest in a bow. We can find you one.
You can't do pawn shops, bro. I got my bow at a pawn shop.
So that's my final thought. I'm excited. I want to hunt with everybody at this table.
Yes, we're definitely going to have.
I want to go on a deer drive with everyone at this fucking table.
Yes,
hey, the deer drives are. That's a that is a story for another day.
Yes,
we got to talk.
I got some deer drive stories.
I do too.
Yeah, I got some deer drive stories.
So Matt, You got any closing thoughts?
No, it's been real nice having me on, and I look forward to tomorrow night's episode, and we'll just wing it until then, man.
All right.
No pun intended on the turkey hunters, you wingers.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Night. Nice.